Today's program has been brought to you by Hearst Ranch, the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. For more information, visit HearstRanch.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
To Let's Eat In on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Kathy Irway, and we're here at Roberta's Pizza. So guys, listen, it's the best time of the year to start jamming, canning, putting things up at home. I just stopped by the Green Market on my way over here, and there's just so much in season right now. Plums, peaches, amazing tomatoes. If you're not stocking up on those mason jars right now and taking advantage of this great bounty of the summer, I don't know what you're doing. But I know one person who definitely is doing that, and she's joining me today here. It's Lena McCarthy of Anarchy in a Jar. Hey.
Hey. Hi, Kathy.
Thanks so much for being here for only your like third or fourth time on the show.
I think it's my third.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Lena founded Anarchy in a Jar. It's a local small jamming company based in Brooklyn about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you're on the show once when you guys were starting up. Then again, for some silly reason, I'm not sure why.
I don't remember. The first one was funny. It was the spicy versus sweet competition.
Oh, that's right.
Kadeem, yeah.
Kadeem
kimchi
from
versus jam.
Yeah, Mama O's kimchi versus Anarchy in a Jar. I think we all won that day.
We did all win because we're all still in operations.
So. That's true. I know. It's such a good point. And not only are you in operation, you're going jam, I don't know, what's a good word for it? Jam crazy.
Jamtastic. Yeah.
Jamtastic with a new book called Jam On, the Craft of Canning Fruit.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Thank
this
you.
Is such a big thing.
Thanks so much.
It's a beautiful hardcover book that came out last week from Viking Studio. It was photographed by the one and only Michael Harlan Turkell.
Yes, the incredibly talented Michael. His photographs are so amazing. It's really what makes the book come alive. So
he's also a host on his own show here, The Food Scene. This is amazing. So it's organized by seasons, correct?
It's actually organized by style of preserving. So it starts with like jams and jellies. Then there's a section on marmalades and chutneys. And then there's a sugar-free chapter.
What is the difference between jams and jellies?
That's an excellent question. Mm-hmm. So jam is smushed up fruit. So kind of what your typical jam that people are used to is just smushed up fruit. Sometimes it has seeds in it. Sometimes there's little pieces of fruit. And then jelly is just the juice. So it's totally strained. Usually it's somewhat clear a little bit. Even if it's colored, you can kind of see through it because it doesn't have any hunks in it. It's been just basically completely strained out. Marmalade is citrus, so it always has some sort of citrus and the zest a little bit.
And the
bit,
peel so, usually is a big part of it.
Exactly, yeah. So you get that bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
And then preserves are whole fruits preserved in their juices.
Oh. What?
Yeah, and conserves have nuts in them and dried fruits.
I don't think I've had conserves.
Yeah, they're kind of like a European thing. You don't see them too much in the States.
Very cool. Thanks for explaining that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And there's so many great recipes that are not just your average. Like, you have the classics. You have the nitty-gritty behind making the best strawberry jam or the best Concord grape jam. But you have playful recipes like the sugar plum fairy jam, which I'm holding right now, which is made with shiso, a wonderful Japanese herb, and ice wine. I don't know what that is. What is ice wine?
It's a wine it's a sweet wine, and it's when it's only in regions that really get frosts, because it's when the grapes are left on the vine till after the first frost. So ice since I knew that. Wine. Yeah, and then they get all sweet and delicious.
Is it cold enough? I know you're from upstate New York, Woodstock, right?
Yeah, it's not. Well, it is cold enough. It's not a huge wine region right around there. I get the ice wine actually from the Finger Lakes, yeah, which is a really great ice wine area because it's really cold and nice.
So, did you go there when you were a kid? The Finger Lakes?
I did. I've been there before. Yeah, yeah, it's beautiful up there.
What was it like growing up in Woodstock? Were there hippies like
there were
all over
there
the place
were.
Asleep there on were. The on the sidewalk?
There were. There were, and there still are. Amazingly.
So it wasn't that strange then doing these jam. I know that you started jamming with your mom growing up.
And I did.
And that was just a hobby every summer.
Yeah, exactly. I learned from her and kind of, you know, she would just can whatever was in season and, you know, just for us, for the house. And we'd always use kind of fun herbs and stuff from her garden that grew. And she was a landscaper, so she always kind of just was an avid gardener. And I learned a lot about plants from her. And, you know, I always used to have a bit of a black thumb. I think it's advanced to, like, it's not quite a green thumb yet, but maybe brown. Like,
what does that mean?
green thumb is when you're really good at growing stuff.
Okay.
Like a natural gardener, which my mother definitely was, and I was not ever that
You're too
great
cool.
at it. You know, I just didn't have the gift. You know, I just felt like everything I grew, I killed. And but I've slowly but surely learned how to grow things better, and you know, just learned about fruits and vegetables and herbs, and that's kind of the fun part of jam making, and that's kind of what I encourage in the book is for people to play,
right,
and really use, you know, what's in season and things you might never think work well together. You know, things like basil and strawberries, especially Thai basil, which is like a little bit of anise kind of flavor. So that's kind of, you know, the fun part of making jam is using kind of cool, coming up with your own cool flavors. And, and I kind of do that throughout the book. I have at the end of every chapter, I have a make it your own section where people can, like, I give kind of different flavor combinations of herbs and spices that that work well with every recipe. So for, you know, even if it might be strawberry and Thai basil, I give kind of other variations that you can do that work well with strawberries or that work well with, you know, cherries and things like that. So it kind of allows you to use the book in many ways. Each recipe in some ways is kind of like 10 recipes, which is nice.
That sounds like a really fun way to just kind of like come up with, and you know, like new ideas that you've never seen before, but also I think that's one of the huge pluses about making your own jam at home is that you can make something that you've never seen before, it doesn't exist, and so forth.
Exactly. That's like the fun part of canning in general. And I think, you know, I try as much as I can in the book to make it really easy. So all the recipes are definitely aimed at home cooks, and also they're aimed at even urban and suburban cooks. So people who don't have a big kitchen and don't necessarily have room for tons of canning equipment. All the recipes, all you need for them are really like a pot, maybe two pots, and your fruit and your sugar and your herbs and maybe honey. And really you don't need anything like crazy pots with fancy attachments.
Funnels,
you don't need you don't really need any of those. And you know, you need some jars, but those are actually pretty easy to get nowadays.
And they're reusable, and you can put candles in them afterwards when you're done.
Exactly. So so I try to make the book as easy as possible and kind of, you know, encouraging you to just play and people to not be too intimidated, because I think I found a lot of times that I have a market booth at Smorgasburg in New Amsterdam and McGulrick Park, where we sell the jams from my company. And a lot of times people come up and they ask questions all about, like, you know, canning on their own and will I kill people? And, you know, they're really scared of canning because I think there's a certain, I don't know, it's not necessarily a myth because obviously, you know, any food you have to be somewhat pseudo-sanitary with. But really, especially jam and pickles are a great way for people to start canning because it's really easy. And it's, I would even say that jam and, you know, preserving fruit can almost be even easier than pickles, you know, in some ways, especially once you try it, you know, really, it's hard to screw it up. You know, you can obviously, I have done it. I mean, when I first was jamming on my own in my early 20s, I, like, you know, I definitely
You screwed up?
I totally did. Sometimes I burnt it. I remember one time, for some reason, I got jam everywhere. It was, like, too loose, and there was, like, jam exploding over the kitchen. So I think, it just takes a little practice sometimes, or, you can screw up once or twice, and usually by the second or third time, the other thing is,
have you ever made a jam and you didn't, like, make it hot enough or something, and for whatever reason, the cap didn't suck in?
Yeah.
I feel like that's what a lot of people might be most afraid of. But if that happens, just put it in the fridge and eat it.
Exactly. 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 And really, the great thing about fruit is that almost all fruit, with a few exceptions, figs and tomatoes are actually the only exception, which occasionally their pH can hover in like what they call the danger zone, so above 4.6. But really, most fruit is way below that with their pH, which means that really harmful bacteria can't grow there. Mm-hmm. So even if
I don't think figs and tomatoes would be the first thing people would reach to anyway. So.
Right, exactly, but. Exactly. And usually you're going to be okay if you add something like lemon juice. Even with figs and tomatoes, you usually can them. Sometimes you have to boil them a little longer, process the jars a little bit longer in a water bath. But for the most part, you're going to be totally fine. So that's what's great about
fruit. Good to know. Like once you cover all the basics of those different types of jams, you're pretty much free to make everything. Oh, look at this photo. There's a photo of Lena on the rooftop that's the Long Island City Brooklyn Grange farm. Mm-hmm. And it looks like she's standing on this rooftop farm at Brooklyn Grange, our good friends. And it looks like she's in a field, but then you see the skyscrapers behind her. That's awesome. So you were saying that you're not much of a green thumb, but your mom was, and now your boyfriend, Ben Flanner, is.
That's right. I surround myself.
Exactly. And Ben is the farmer, founder of Brooklyn Grange Farm. So.
Yeah. And I use whatever I can from them. So they don't have big orchards yet.
Yeah.
Peaches. I encourage every year them to
make their... Do they have strawberries, though?
They do.
Yeah, strawberry patches. That's easy to grow.
It is. And I use herbs from them, herbs and peppers and tomatoes and things like that.
Oh, for the hot pepper jelly.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Exactly.
Those must be coming off the vines right now.
They are. Right now is really, honestly, kind of the best time to jam or can anything. Because it's amazing, right? When you go to Green Market, it's just like, it's almost overwhelming.
Because
there's so much in season right now.
And
there's
what I like about it is the prices get lower when there's so much in season.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone's inclination sometimes, all of us think like, okay, it's May. It is summer. Nope. Put on your bikini. But it's not, really in terms of vegetables and farm products, they're not really ripe until this time of year is when everything gets really good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to, I always forget that every year. I think we all do, and then the first strawberries come and it's like, I will give you $1 million for those strawberries.
Or like at first the hothouse tomatoes are like $8 a pound, and now I just got heirloom tomatoes for $3.25.
Oh my God.
That's a good tip. So so go stock up, buy like a flat of something and just have jam throughout the winter.
Exactly. And I encourage everybody to. I think sometimes when you go to a green market, it can seem like things are expensive sometimes, but especially if you're canning, you can always ask them, if they have extras. And
squashed ones?
I wouldn't suggest using ones that are actually moldy or rotten, because those will just taste like moldy, rotten jam. But I definitely encourage you ask a farmer, and they'll often give you they can give you sometimes an entire case of peaches for much, much cheaper than they're selling them for in the little pints. So definitely ask, and sometimes the farmers are really psyched about people doing their own thing and canning and stuff. So
take it from someone who did that and has gone this far for sure. So let's have a little quick musical interlude, and we'll be right back talking more with Lena from Anarchy in a Jar.
You're listening to Feeling by Peels.
Ranch grass-fed beef. Pasture raised on 150,000 acres in Central California. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, free-range, sustainably produced, humane. Hearst Ranch grass-fed beef, the authentic flavor of the American West.
All right, we're back with Lena McCarthy on the week of her book launch, Jam On, the Craft of Canning Fruit. This is your first book.
Yeah, it's exciting.
So this is a great starter manual for anyone interested in jamming, and then anyone who is interested in getting a little more geeky about it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was asking before, are you going on like a book tour or anything? But
yeah, I'm doing little bits. You know, I'm going to be visiting a few different places. I'm going to be out in California later in the later in the fall. And what's nice is, you know, I'm going to kind of take it slow throughout the fall and go different places. So people can kind of, you know, because you can actually there's still a lot you can, even, you know, later in the fall. Apples and pears and quince, which are great.
That's great.
And cranberries and stuff like that.
Put some maple syrup in there and so forth.
Exactly. And then there's marmalade season, which is pretty fun too.
The winter. Nice. So, but it seems like you're always touring because you're at these markets, New Amsterdam Market, exactly. Smorgasburg Market. So you can always, you know, talk and get the, I don't know if you'll do a book reading, you know, at the market stands, but you can definitely get a taste of this great book. Ooh, there's some quince right there. Mm-hmm. Now tell me about this recipe for sex with the cherry. What was it called again?
I call it Sexing the Cherry Cocktail, which is it's actually an ode to, there's a Jeanette Winterson novel called Sexing the Cherry. And really, I mean, I guess I draw a bit of a comparison. I don't know. Maybe it's a stretch, but honestly, it's just a great name. And it's obviously a cherry themed cocktail. Yeah. And, you know, I think there's a few variations in there, but definitely cocktails is kind of a fun thing to do with jam. One question I get like all the time at my markets actually is people ask me, what do I do with this jam? Because I think, you know, most people, we all think of obviously jam on toast, which is its kind of most common form, or maybe on scones or whatever. But there's really a lot of other stuff you can do with jam, especially the recipes in the cookbook are tend to be more low sugar and also kind of more unique in that they have a lot of different flavors going on. So you can really do a lot of fun stuff with them. You know, you can put
them
in grilled
cheese. There's a risotto recipe with the raspberry rye whiskey jam, beets, and aged goat cheese. That sounds really good. And also a grilled cheese, fig-you pizza. Nice one.
Yeah, there's a lot of fun ones. Exactly. And, you know, there's using it on roast chicken and...
For like a glaze or...
Exactly.
Before you roast it. That's a great idea.
And a lot... You can really use a lot of, you know, jams and jellies in different ways like that. Especially some of the marmalades are really nice on fish and...
To sex up basically anything.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Instead of, you know, maybe adding a sugar or a syrup, it's kind of a fun other way to add a flavor in it into something that's... you can put it in salad dressing even. So.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. So what do you think would be the ultimate date meal to, and it doesn't have to use jam, but...
You know, it's actually, that's a really hard question. I knew you were going to ask it, and I was trying to think of something on the way here, but it's hard because jam is really sexy. I mean, I feel like, you know, I personally feel like it depends, you know, obviously if it's a breakfast date, then you know, there's many jams you could use for that. I think there's a really fun recipe for poached eggs with using a marmalade on the toast, and it's kind of a fun way to like jazz up poached eggs.
Wow, okay. So that you would put the poached egg on top of the jam toast.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that little bitterness is really nice with poached eggs because it adds, you know, kind of balances that sweetness of the egg.
I didn't think
and
of that.
Yeah, and then I would say, you know, if it's a lunch date, then, you know, there's some fun grilled cheese and jam, which, you know, kind of a way to add a sweet little touch to lunch, which would be fun. And then I think the roast chicken recipe is really fun for I think roast chicken is like, it's, I always say it's like my favorite thing to make. I make it for like, especially in the fall and winter. I mean, even in the summer, maybe if your apartment's really tiny, it would drive you crazy. It could be really hot. But roast chicken's great because it's, it seems really glamorous and like you put so much work into it and it looks so beautiful, but it's really easy.
And it's substantial.
Yeah. And it's like fun to pick the bones together, you know, it's like fun to kind of pick it off. You know, it's, it can be a little sexy and kind of fun to do with someone else. So
which jam would you suggest for that?
You know, I feel like you could use a lot of different variations. I think the pepper jelly is really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Or like even a chutney. There's a recipe for a green tomato chutney that would be fun.
I was thinking of the spicy pear one.
Ooh, yeah. That would be really good. Totally. Because pears work really well with chicken. Yeah.
All right. So I know, okay, that's Lena's next dinner date in the fall, maybe.
Exactly.
I just got a weird idea. What about for a late date?
Ooh.
Just a jar of these and go crazy?
There you go. No, totally. Just two spoons and a little jar of jam. Yeah.
Jam body paint, anyone?
Oh, yes. That's a late, late date.
Nice. Do you have suggestions? No, I'm just kidding. I'm like opening a book. Well, Lena said I should paint the jam. No. So what's next for Anarchy in a Jar? I mean, you're still producing in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
You have a couple of faithful, awesome, amazing employees.
I do. I'm very lucky to always have really great people working for me. So, I mean, one thing we've been doing is, you know, this summer, one of my assistants is also a baker in her own right. So she has a small little baking company she's just getting started called Magpies Baking. And she, she's been making Pop-Tarts that we fill with the jams, and we sell them at Smorgasburg.
That's
and that's
great.
Kind of a fun, you know, new little venture of ways to kind of... you know, it's ways in which I have fun fostering new people who are starting out, and that's something always fun. It's a great way to collaborate as well. And then, you know, we're
I can see like jelly rolls, all sorts of baked goods.
Totally.
Using the jam.
Totally. Yeah. So, and then throughout the fall, we're starting to sell in some more stores. So, expanding a little bit, always expanding, you know. So, and we've been doing some larger sizes too for a lot of the, some of the stores outside the city, especially.
Oh, okay. To use on their menu and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. And for restaurants. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's been kind of fun. So, you know, always expanding. And we're probably going to, you know, at some point expand our space too, because we're still you know, in a small little kitchen, but we're definitely
you're in a small little kitchen that's like being rented out of excuse me, Essex Market and Greenpoint. So
yeah exactly. So we're out and we're, you know, kind of in the back area, which is great. It's a great space, and it's kind of nice to have other people around too. I actually like, you know, that there's nice energy of having, you know, there's a shop in the front, and then we all kind of share a storage
that's
area.
Kind of what we have here at this radio station. It's like just in the back of Roberta's Pizza.
And there's something nice about like, you know, collaborating and doing stuff together, and you know, having the energy of different people doing different stuff. And you know, that's kind of exactly what you get at Roberta's.
Like, yeah, you know, the like, community vibe.
Yeah,
because you also work in the same space as P&H Soda still?
That's right. Yeah.
Anyone else, or
it's just us? We both have kind of different little zones, and then we share a
different
walk-in
schedules.
A walk-in cooler. Cool. Yeah, and we have, you know, he has his own little area with induction and stuff, so we kind of we share warehouse space.
I see in the back somebody wrote as a quote on your book that anarchy in a jar could also be called community in a jar. And I think that that pretty much sums it up. Why anarchy, though?
You know, it's funny. I get that question a lot.
Socialist.
Right? Well, you know, it's a little tongue-in-cheek. Obviously, anarchy in a jar is, you know, kind of
well, it's an anarchy of flavor, I have to say. It's like super, super intense, and just hits you over the head.
But yeah, exactly. You know, I always say it's unconventional, you know, and both in the technique and in the flavors, and you know, we try to make it obviously a little exciting and anarchic in your mouth.
Have you gotten any strange hate mail or anything like that from people who are a little concerned?
You know, I definitely have had mostly just young anarchists from all around, you know, just inquiring, and they're, you know, always excited about, they want to talk about politics, but, you know.
Invite you to some meetings.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's great. So, so for Jam On, do you have events coming up around town?
Yeah, I do. I actually have a book release party at 61 Local, which is going to be in 2 weeks on the August 23rd. And everyone's invited. Anyone who wants to come, it's going to be
any
open.
Any cover
and,
price?
There's no cover price.
Wow.
And, you know, we have books for sale. There'll be jam snacks, jam trivia.
And it's a great little pub, so.
Yeah, it's a great place. You can bring your kid, you know, you can probably bring your dog, maybe.
Yeah, I saw that on your invite. I was like, really?
Maybe not. Maybe they'll have to hang outside. But, and then I have, I'm doing some demos for Green Market. I'm doing another one at Grand Army Plaza on the 25th. So that'll be a fun jam-making demo, and the book will be there. And and then I'll be doing different signings and stuff around town. So, and all that actually is, the book has its own website, jamonthecraftoftanningfruit.com.
Oh, that's long. Okay. I'll remember it.
Or you can just link to it. It's on our website, Anarchy in a Jar's website, too.
Oh, so you could see all the events there.
Yeah.
Great.
Exactly.
So how do you do that? Well, it's like the prime season for actually jamming your jams,
it's
your
hard.
Product.
It's hard, you know? It's definitely, I'm a busy lady.
So what flavors do we have coming up that you're working on? New ones.
Yeah. You know, one of the new ones I'm working on is... I've been working on a Bloody Mary jam, a tomato jam, which is perfect for this season. And
is it savory or sweet?
You know, it's both. It's both. It's a little savory and a little sweet. It's got a little horseradish and kind of almost like a little vinegary pickle spice going on. And tastes kind of like a Bloody Mary, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's nice because you can use it. Obviously, you can use it on toast, but it's great, you know, as a condiment as well. So,
cool.
Yeah. And I kind of like doing flavors like that are a little more diverse. You can use them in different ways and stuff. So
that's really interesting.
Yeah,
because Bloody Mary is, you know, sometimes just tastes like canned tomatoes or something. Like, but I have a feeling yours is going to be a little more
it's a little
subtle,
more exciting.
Yeah. So, all right. It looks like that's about all the time we have.
All right.
Well, but thanks
you,
so
Kathy.
Much for joining again.
Yeah,
and look forward to trying your new jams. And thank you for this She's So Plum jam, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on the show. It was
absolutely
a pleasure.
So check out anarchyinajar.com, jamonthecraftofcanningfruit.com, and thanks everyone at Heritage. We'll see you next week on Let's Eat In.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.